Bible, turn back with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. The good Lord willing, we'll complete this sermon tonight. I began this on Sunday evening. If you missed part one, I encourage you to go back and get it. This is part two to the message I began on Sunday night. John chapter 16. Let's read beginning in verse number one. The Word of God says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They should put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, you can mark the phrase in verse number one, the last phrase, "that ye should not be offended." That ye should not be offended. This is part two to this message. Let's pray together. Father, bless tonight, I pray, as we open your word together, would you calm our hearts, and would you help us to be sensitive to your word, and would you speak directly to us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Some of this will be repeat, obviously. As we come to this chapter, we're reminded of how the Lord Jesus has been preaching his heart out to these disciples in order to prepare them for his soon departure from them. Remember, he's less than 24 hours away from being put on the cross when we're reading through this chapter together. He has just told them, when you come to chapter 16, he's just told them how the world hates him and will in turn hate them as well. Yet he was going to send them the Comforter to testify of him to this lost and dying world, and they would also be witnesses of him in this lost and dying world. Now notice this chapter opens up with the Lord saying, "These things have I spoken to you, that ye should not be offended." Now keep in mind, again, just in case you were not here Sunday night, the word offended means to trip up. It means to stumble. It means to be entrapped, or it means to be enticed to sin. Now get this. The Lord Jesus had, and he still has, a desire for his disciples, his true followers, to remain faithful and true to him no matter what. In other words, he wants them to know, he's trying to prepare them for the future here, and he wants them to know, "I'm telling it to you straight. I'm giving it to you straight. I'm not sugarcoating anything because I don't want you to trip up. I don't want you to be enticed to sin. I don't want you to be entrapped. I don't want you to stumble." Now get this, it is God's will that as his children go through their journey toward home, we are all getting closer to home, we're all getting closer to heaven. He does not want us not to see something come up and trip over it. You understand? He doesn't want you to be taken off guard to the point to where you didn't see that coming and it just trips you up. It entices you to stop on God. It entraps you. This is his desire. See, he knows that they are so connected to him being with them, and he knows in just a few hours he's going to be taken away from them and their world's going to turn upside down, and he wants them to be prepared for that. He doesn't want them to stop. He doesn't want them to stumble. He doesn't want them to fall. He wants them to keep going. You follow me where I'm going with this? So in order to help them not stumble, he does two major things with them in this chapter.
Now, he's already given them several things. All of these things can basically be put so you're not offended, so you don't stumble. Keep in mind, I'm going to prepare a place for you. You see what I'm saying? But you can also apply this to what he's getting ready to say. I'm speaking these things to you so you do not trip up. So two more things he does here. Number one, we looked at it. He prepared them for persecution. This is found in verses 2 through 6. Not going to preach on it, just going to mention it and go on. Go back and get it on Sunday night. Let me just simply say this. He wanted them to know that they were going to be persecuted. And he says in these verses, I'm telling you this so that when it happens, you may remember I told you this is coming. Why did he do that? Because he doesn't want them to fall. He doesn't want them to stumble. He wanted them to know that whenever this persecution came, the Holy Spirit would bring back to their mind, wait a minute, he told me this is going to happen. And it would help them stay strong during that time. You see what I'm saying? Then the second thing he did is he promised them again that the Comforter was going to be coming. This is found in verses 7 through 15. Now, I've already preached on the first major part of this. Let me tap it on the head like I did with the persecution, and we'll pick up with letter B. But there's three things here that the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, said he will do that, he will do that, he will do that. Now, keep this in mind. After the Lord prepared these men for upcoming persecution, he said they're going to what they're going to do is throw you out of their synagogues. They're going to kill you, and they're going to think that they're doing God's service by doing that. He gave them his promise again in the middle of that, that the Comforter was coming. Now get this, he already told them that. But he reminds them again that I'm not going to leave you alone. He told his disciples that his departure was expedient for them. That's found in verse number 7, I think it is, that it's expedient for you. And that word expedient means it's profitable, it's advantageous. In other words, you think that when you lose me, you think it's terrible for you. But I'm telling you, it's expedient for you. It's advantageous to you because even though you're not going to see me in body, I'm going to be, the Holy Spirit of God is going to be with you everywhere you go. And he's telling them, I'm not going to leave you alone. Now, this being the case, aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit of God is your constant companion? I'm telling you, now, we're not here to glorify and uplift just the Holy Spirit of God because he doesn't even do that himself. But I will say this, I thank God for the Comforter tonight. I thank God that he lives inside my heart. And I'm telling you, he's the only one that can give you peace in time of turmoil. He's the only one that, I'm talking about this, that Peter who said, I don't know him, curse and say, I told you, I don't know the man. And yet just a little while later, stand up and say, Jesus is the one you crucified. He is the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. Only the Holy Spirit of God can help somebody do something like that. I thank God for the Holy Spirit tonight. He is God. He's God the Spirit. And there's three things that we're looking at here that the Lord Jesus Christ said he will do when he comes to earth. And he's already arrived. I like it. He's on planet earth. I'm telling you, friends, let's rejoice in this. Number one, the Lord said he would reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. Already preached this. Let me just mention it here. Keep in mind, verses 8 through 11. If you want to hear it preached more in detail, go back and get it from Sunday night. But notice he said he will reprove the world of sin because they don't believe on me. In other words, the Holy Spirit is reproving the world of not believing on Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He reproves the world for not doing that. He reproves the world of righteousness because the Lord has gone back to heaven. In other words, the world will try to tell you that Jesus Christ is not holy. He's not of God. He's just a man. He's not the one. He's not Messiah. The Holy Spirit's reproving the world of that. He's coming to the, he came to the world and he's reproving the world saying, he's righteous. He's righteous. He's righteous. Then he reproves the world of judgment. And notice it says, because, verse number 11, the prince of this world is judged. In other words, what's the Holy Spirit's presence doing today on planet Earth? He's confirming that we are on the winning side. He's confirming that the devil's been defeated. He's a loser. That's the first thing that the Holy Spirit is doing on planet Earth. He is reproving the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now we pick up our study with number two. This is letter B. The second thing the Lord said the Holy Spirit would do is that he will guide into all truth. Notice this in verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now get this. One of the things the Comforter does is he guides into the truth. Now get this. The Holy Spirit will never lead anybody away from the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never will. See, anything that leads away from Christ, anything that leads you away from Christ and who he is and leads you away from the Word of God is not being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice here, the Spirit does not speak of himself, but he speaks what he hears. In other words, he's hearing from the Father and he's giving it to the world. Now, I can't fully explain that. Nobody in this auditorium can fully explain that. But what he's showing here is this. There's perfect unity between my Father, me, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you ever hear anything contrary to what I teach you, that's not the Holy Spirit telling you that. Because the Holy Spirit will only speak what he hears. And what he hears comes from above. Just like the Lord spoke the words of the Father, the Spirit speaks the words of the Father. There's complete unity here between Father, Son, and Spirit. They all speak the same thing. There's no contradiction among them. The Holy Spirit guides into all truth, even including verse number 13, things to come. By the way, the Holy Spirit authored the Word of God. He is the author of God's precious Word. But these books of the Bible, back through here, are you listening? That's the truths that the Holy Spirit of God guided these men in, and he's showing them things to come. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I'm saying to you that God the Holy Spirit will guide into all truth. Now get this. This means he's to be the leader. You don't lead him, he leads you. He is out in front. I like what one man said here. He said there are three classes of people who need to be guided. Because the Lord said he will guide you. He will guide you. This man said there's three classes of people that need a guide. Now let this speak to your heart. Those who are blind, they need a guide. Those who are too weak to walk alone will need a guide. And those who are journeying in an unknown territory will need a guide. Let me ask you a question. Does that sound similar to who a Christian is? May I say this to you? By nature, every human being is born spiritually blind. And the Holy Spirit guides spiritually blind people into the way of the truth. You realize I can't do that? Now, we just completed a soul-winning seminar where you kind of sharpen your axe a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. We encourage that, but let me say this to you. There's no man-made approach that can take the place of the Holy Spirit of God's leadership. You can't do it. You're not going to win somebody on your personality. You're not going to win somebody to Christ because you presented it such in a beautiful way. No, the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and he guides blind people into the way of the truth. This is what you need. This is what you're searching. You can't tell them this is what you're searching for, but the Holy Spirit of God can take the Word of God and say, this is what you've been searching for. That's what he does. He guides blind people into the way of the truth. Secondly, as babes in Christ, we are all weak, too weak to walk on our own. May I say this to you? As fully grown adults in Christ, without Christ, you can do nothing. We need the Holy Spirit's leadership. May I say this to you? You better hope that you have enough Holy Ghost wisdom to tell the difference when you can, something's not right about that. Something doesn't smell right about that. You ever been around somebody that says they've got Holy Ghost wisdom? I mean, God shows them. Something just doesn't smell right about that. The Holy Spirit can do that. Because we need Him to help us walk through this life. We're too weak without Him. Thirdly, as travelers through the wilderness scene, we don't know our way through this pilgrim journey. By the way, if you want to try to lead yourself, He'll let you. He'll let you. You ever try to lead yourself and fall flat? You ever been in an unknown country, an unknown territory, and you have a guide, and he's up and he's trying to tell you, now look to your right, see this building here, this is what that was, and right up in front of us, this is what you can expect. Can you imagine somebody who's never been on that journey to take the microphone and say, let me tell you about this place? He's never been there. May I say this to you? You have not been in tomorrow. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what's coming the next instant. You don't know what's coming the next day. You don't know what's coming the next month. But He does. And He wants to lead you and show you how He wants you to navigate through this life. What is one of the things He's doing in this earth, living inside of the children of God, is He is reproving the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But He is guiding into all truth. Then finally, number three, He is glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this in verse 14. Look at it. He shall glorify me. Now, you can circle that. You can outline that. You can put an asterisk beside it, because that right there completely obliterates a lot of the so-called religious movements on planet Earth today. Now listen to me now. The word glorify means to render glorious. It means to magnify and to honor. That's what it means. And this is important to understand about the Holy Spirit of God. He does not glorify Himself. Look at verse number 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth. Notice this. For He shall not speak of Himself. Verse 14. He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit of God will lift up and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's doing. One man said, if anything calling itself Christian teaching, if anything calling itself Christian teaching makes its approach to us and does not exalt and glorify Christ, it is not of the Spirit of God. That's the truth. Oliver Green put it this way, a Christ-centered ministry is a Spirit-given ministry. I like that. A Christ-centered ministry is a Spirit-given ministry. J. Vernon McGee put it this way. He said, I listened to a man on a radio program and he said this, and I quote, we're having a Holy Ghost revival. The Holy Ghost is working. The Holy Ghost is doing this and that. And J. Vernon McGee said, the minute he said all those things, I knew the Holy Ghost was not working. He said, why? Because the Lord Jesus made it clear that the Holy Ghost will not speak of Himself. Then how can you tell when the Holy Ghost is working? How can you tell it? It's when Jesus Christ is the only one being lifted up high and holy. Now get this, friends. When in a meeting or a Bible study, you suddenly get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He becomes wonderful to you. Has that happened, by the way? You ever been studying the Bible or hearing a message and the Lord Jesus Christ just gets bigger in your heart? What a Savior. Glory to God. I mean, look what Jesus Christ has done for me. Hey, when that happens, you suddenly get a glimpse of Christ. And it's very real, very meaningful to you. That's a sign the Holy Spirit of God's working in you. Because He will glorify Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting here. By the way, that's important for this church to understand. because that's what this church should be doing too. See, what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in the world, don't you get this, is what God's children should be doing in the world. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So if He's reproving the world of sin, so should we be. We should be pointing people to Jesus. You see what I'm saying? If He's reproving the word of righteousness that He's righteous, He's the Son of God, then we ought to be saying the same thing. If He's reproving the world of judgment, saying the devil's defeated, we ought to be preaching the same thing. If He's guiding into the truth and never something in contradiction to what the God, the Holy Father above is saying, then everything we say from this pulpit and in our Sunday school classes and on our bus routes should come from the Word of God. And if all He does is lift up Jesus, and that's what we need to do in our singing, in our preaching, in our witnessing. See, His purpose is our purpose. And we ought to be doing the same things for the glory of God. Now, the Lord closes this section with verse number 15 by saying, "All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." In other words, the Lord said the Holy Spirit's going to take what's mine and give it to you. By the way, what I have came from my Father. Don't you see what He's doing? He's reminding again that there's perfect unity found between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit receives of His, which is also the Father's, and He shows it to others. This shows once again the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the unity among the Godhead. Now get this. As we come to a conclusion here tonight, let me kind of paraphrase these opening 15 verses for you. The Lord Jesus Christ was getting ready to die. He was getting ready to die for the sin of the world. And He knew that every one of these men that He's talking to would flee from Him, would run away from Him, would forsake Him. But He also knew that if they respond right, that He's going to turn around and use them to turn the world right side up. May I say something to you? The reason you're saved tonight is through the witness of one of these 11 men right here. Did you hear what I just said? You say, "You mean I'm saved? Maybe from Peter? You mean his witness?" Maybe. Because I know this, the gospel got to the United States of America. And it got here because some men of God who went through tremendous persecution and even were put to death for their faith. Listen to what He said. And even though they tripped, they did not stay down. And they got up and went on and did not stumble. They kept going. Now get this. He was getting ready to leave them. And He knew how important His presence was to them. He knew they were connected to Him. So in these verses, the Lord Jesus had a desire for these men not to stumble. It's my desire that you not be offended. I'm saying these things to you so you don't trip up. He wanted them to be dedicated to Him, even to death. He desired for them to finish strong, is what I'm trying to say. He desired for them to go forward for the glory of God. But in order to do this, He did not sugarcoat what they would go through. He did not say, "Follow me and you can expect it sunshine all the time." He did not do that. He said, "I want you to know that if you follow me, it's going to be persecution and it's going to be death. But I want you to know that the times when you may feel like you're all alone, I promise you, what I'm getting ready to do is expedient for you. It's advantageous to you. It's profitable for you. You're not going to understand it first, but you will. You will." And what He's doing here is He's trying to encourage these men to stand strong. Stay firm. Because the Holy Spirit of God has come. And He will help, and He will encourage, and He will guide. In all of this, we see the desire even tonight for the Lord Jesus from the Lord Jesus, we see his desire for God's children not to stumble, not to be offended, not to trip up. Therefore, when persecution comes, and let's be honest, we don't even know what that means in America. But we don't know if and when that will ever happen. We don't know. But if it does, if we simply remember, the Holy Spirit of God will remind us, he said it was coming. He said it's not going to be a cakewalk. He said it's going to be hard. He said this. Don't you see how that would strengthen these disciples to say, it's exactly what he said, isn't it? I can't help but imagine that Peter or John or James or some of these other men here, at times, I can't prove this, but I can't help but think that maybe they got together and said, you remember that night before he was taken from us? When he said they're going to persecute us? Boy, was he ever right. But aren't you glad they stood firm? Again, you're sitting here. Now, it's the Lord. It's all God. You understand that. But I'm talking about the human thumbprint on you. One of these men affected you and me. And all I want to tell you tonight is I don't know what the future holds. But I know this. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if persecution comes, I'm not inviting it. I don't want it. But if it comes, are you listening? You don't have to trip over it. You don't have to stumble over it. You can stand firm through it. Because he said it's coming, but he did not leave you to fight the battle alone. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside you if you're saved. And what he's doing is he emboldens his children to stand up on the day of Pentecost and say, let me tell you that you crucified the Prince of Peace. You crucified the Son of God. You need to be saved. And 3,000 people come to Christ. The same man who just a few days before said, I don't even know the man. I promise you, I don't even know who you're talking about. But when the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of him, he reared back on his hind legs and he reproved the world of sin. He reproved the world of righteousness. He reproved the world of judgment because the Holy Spirit of God was speaking through him. And even though it's been reported he was crucified upside down, I don't want to be compared to the Apostle Peter at the judgment seat of Christ. What made the difference in his life? Same it'll make a difference in yours and mine. Stop listening to the voice of the enemy who's already been pronounced done with. And start being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God who's shouting, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. We've already won the battle. And all I want to do before I call you home is let you allow me to live through you. I want to prove the world through you. I want to glorify Christ through you. I want to guide to the truth through you. Isn't that a blessing tonight? Let's submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's filling and let him use us for the glory of Almighty God. This is what he said. These things have I spoken unto you, that you do not stumble. What is it? You ready, Peter? He's getting ready to give us something here. He's going to help us. He's going to encourage us. They're going to cast you out of the synagogues and kill you. What would you do if you was told that? Talking about bursting your bubble. Now, I'm telling you this because when it comes, I want you to know I said it would. But let me tell you something. Even though they're going to cast you out and kill you, I'm going to send somebody to help you. And oh, his name, he's the Comforter. Thank God for the Comforter tonight. Amen. Let's thank the Lord that he's not left us alone to travel on this planet Earth. But he is with us to show us the way. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As we simply travel through these scriptures together tonight, just really verse by verse, and what the Lord said about the Comforter. I tonight believe that the Comforter would not want us to uplift and glorify him, but do what he does, and that is uplift and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when we glorify Christ, that's what he's doing, and that's what we should be doing. Brother Gary, I hardly ever make a request, and this may be the one that you're turning to, but let's sing that song. I think it's in the hymnal, The Comforter Has Come. Can we do that? This is the title that the Lord gave to the Holy Spirit in this particular text. He called him the Spirit of Truth as well, but I like the name Comforter, don't you? Beautiful name, beautiful name. And tonight I think it'd be appropriate. Yes, we obviously offer and open the altar to those who need to be saved. If you're here and never come to Christ, tonight is the night of salvation. Come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. But the main emphasis tonight that I believe the Lord would have me do is to get on our faces just to thank the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ for sending the Holy Spirit of God. Not glorifying him, but praising him. You understand? That they sent the Holy Spirit of God to help us in this life. Do you know you need him? Do you understand you've got to have him? And I think it'd be appropriate for us just to thank the Lord tonight for sending the Comforter. So as they begin to play through, I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing this. And if you want to come and get on your knees or just have a seat here on the front pew, or maybe just turn around there in your seat and kneel if you want to do that, just to say thank you that the Comforter has come. I believe this is a great thing to do. I really do. So as Brother Gary begins to sing, just get out of your seat and come on. Would you do that? Let's praise him tonight that the Comforter's come.
Tidings round.
Let's give him glory tonight. You can come to this altar. You can use your seat as an altar there.
And human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue.
Let's talk to God.
Proclaim the joyful sound. The tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.
Let's keep singing, asking God to meet with us, shall we? The long, long night is past, the morning breaks at last, and hush the dreadful wail and fury of the blast, as o'er the golden hills the day advances fast.
The Comforter has come.
Sing it if you know it. Give God glory tonight.
The Comforter has come.
The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round, wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Listen to this verse now. Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortal
mortals tell the matchless grace divine that I, a child of hell, should in His image shine. The Comforter has come.
Sing it now.
The Comforter has come.
The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise give. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. She's playing through. You can look this way. We're approaching our prayer meeting in here. We're preparing for that. We're staying in the auditorium. If you're with your family tonight, I want you to get with them. If you're by yourself tonight, I do not want to force you to pray with somebody else, but I want to encourage you to. I want you to encourage to adopt somebody tonight. Men with men, by the way. Men don't adopt a lady, all right? And men with men, ladies with ladies. If you're with your family, I want you to gather together as a family there. But if you're by yourself, I want you to grab somebody close to you, or just, if you're a man and see some other men sitting alone, come and join them. I want you to do that now. Would you do that? If you're going to move around a little bit, you go ahead while I'm talking to you here. And let's get together. We're getting ready to pray together. I'm going to give you some instructions. But I remind you here that the Holy Spirit of God helps us pray. That's part of His duty. Do you know that? I mean, He prays through us. Let me ask you a question. When you pray, do you want the Holy Spirit of God to be the one praying? You want the Holy Spirit to be helping you? May I say this to you? If the Holy Spirit of God is helping you pray, it'll be obvious. If the Holy Spirit of God's helping you pray, it'll be answered. I'm not saying it'll be answered with a yes, but it'll be answered. And I want to encourage us tonight. I'm trying to be sensitive here. I'm trying to follow the leadership of the Lord. And here's what I want to do tonight. I want to pray through this prayer sheet. But I want to conclude this prayer time. See, sometimes I come in here with instructions. Other times I just wing it, you know. And I felt tonight the Lord just wanted me to kind of wing this. Just let Him lead. And I really believe that the Lord would have us to end our prayer time tonight with just thanking and praising Him for who He is. Just saying thank You, Jesus, for what You've done. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for coming. Thank You, dear Father, for orchestrating it all. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. Thank You for changing my life. Thank You for giving me a family. Thank You for my wife. Thank You for my children. Thank You for our church. Thank You, we can pray. So I'm not just guiding you. I'm doing this from the pulpit publicly. I'm thanking Him right now. God's been good to us, friends. The Lord has been good. And I know that our nation looks like it's bleak. I know that it looks every now and then that the devil is winning the victory. But friends, if we believe the Word of God, we've read the back of the book. We already know who's won. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting in it. And we can give God glory for that. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask that folks specifically pray for things in this prayer sheet. And I'm going to ask Brother Gary to end everything tonight with asking God for nothing. I'm putting you on the spot there, Brother Gary. It's going to be hard to do that. It'd be hard for me to do that. But just thanking the Lord for who He is. If you're with your family tonight, let me say this to you. It's hard to have disunity in a family that prays together. Did you hear what I just said? I could be talking to a family that may be kind of broken tonight. What's the Holy Spirit want to do in your life? What's He want to do? We're dealing with something right now, not in this church. It's outside of this church. There's disunity in some people that we dearly love. And the Holy Spirit of God is at work. And what he's trying to do is take this and take this and come like this and say, this is what pleases me. So let's pray together. I like praying together. So here's what we want to do. If you're on my right, we're going to take, you know, about 5 or 6 or so minutes here. We're doing good on time. I'd like this, if you wouldn't mind, to pray for the center section. That's the Sunday school. That's the church ministry. That's the bus route. That's the staff member of the week. That's the deacon of the week. This section to my right, if you wouldn't mind to do that. This section right here in the center, I want you to pray for the missionary section. That whole flyleaf there, the inside right corner, the missionaries, the praying for the laborers to Mid-Atlantic, and praying for the Truth Bible Club, specifically the highlighted ones at Indian Trail. Over here to my left, and up in the balcony, if you're in the balcony or to my left, I want you to pray for those in the hospital. This is the back, one of the back panels. The shut-in for this week, Miss Ruth Lyle, the nursing home, Lake Bridge. I want you to add a name to Lake Bridge. That's Miss Peggy Bowman. She has broken her hip, and she's in Lake Bridge. Her name is not on there. We found this out recently. So add the name Peggy Bowman there. Praying for the active military personnel. That's Brother John Rourke. Praying for government officials, Department of State John Kerry, and one of our local commissioners, Lynn Hodge. I want the balcony and to my left to pray for that group of people there. And I want everybody now to pray for revival. That's this part here. Pray for what the New Testament church prayed for, strength, endurance, joy. And pray for the wild beast feast on the back. Everybody pray for that. And then Brother Gary will come, somewhere close to 8 o'clock or so. That's about 8 minutes from now. About 5, 6, 7 minutes or so. He'll come to this pulpit right here and begin to thank the Lord for what he's done. And I want to encourage everybody, when you hear Brother Gary's voice, let's stop what we're praying for and let's turn our prayers upward to God in praise and thanksgiving. Can we do that? I think the Lord will be pleased with that. Okay? So everybody understand what we're doing? So I'm going to have her just drop out and let's pause for prayer here. If you're watching live, I want you to pray with us. This will be good, and Brother Gary will come here momentarily, okay?